Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, the media's losing it over Donald Trump working at McDonald's. And yes, he did work because he operated the fry basket and gave people their food through the drive-through window. That's called working, even if you're not compensated for it. Amazing, I know. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. A busy show for you as we are dealing with the busy election season and the breaking news today about battle plans leaked. And I want to get into some detail with you on that as well. We also have the White House responding to that. And Trump went to a barber shop. And he also spoke to a bunch of black barbers. It's retail politics. You know what I mean? It's retail politics. It's what has to happen here. And he's doing a really, I think the McDonald's thing was a big coup. I really do. For him, it was a really big deal. So what's going on with Iran and Israel, too? What's the latest on that? And what's with these leaked battle plans? And what do we learn from that? The Biden administration says they are concerned about the release of files on Israel's plans to strike Iran. How did this happen? What's going on here? What is the latest on this? And how could something like this occur? The United States says they're deeply concerned by the intelligence leak over Israel's plan to attack Iran. Officials say no further leaks, but the investigation underway into how the documents came to be published on the site Telegram, which is one of those sites that people use for confidential communications. U.S. government officials investigating the leak of two classified intelligence papers assessing Israel's plans to attack Iran have said they did believe that more documents had been compromised. But the Biden administration remained deeply disturbed by the unauthorized release. John Kirby, the National Security Communications Advisor, told reporters at a White House briefing on Monday and said U.S. officials have spoken with Israeli counterparts about the leak. He did not divulge details of the conversation. I believe we have audio of Kirby from today's White House press briefing, Matt DeSantis, if I'm not mistaken. We can take a listen.
Not yet.
Okay. See if we can grab something for me of that. That would be helpful. Thank you. He said, we're deeply concerned, and the president remains deeply concerned about any leakage of classified information into the public domain. That's not supposed to happen, and it's unacceptable when it does. He'll be actively monitoring the progress of the investigation effort, and we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. But let me welcome our guest. This is a good topic to actually talk to him about as well, because he is, in fact, retired from the U.S. Special Forces. And his brand new book, Hard Truths, Think and Lead Like a Green Beret. Yeah. Pleasure to welcome back to the show, Congressman Mike Waltz. And I have his book up here on our YouTube stream. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, good to be with you. Great night with the president last night in Pittsburgh at the Steelers game, and campaigning around North Carolina, my old neck of the woods in North Carolina. But, man, Pennsylvania is going to decide the presidency.
Yeah, and it really is. And I want to talk about Pennsylvania with you. I also want to mention that our mutual friend Jack Carr put a great blurb about your book. And he said, Mike Waltz's latest book, Hard Truths, is a must read, not just for every leader in America, but for every citizen. From combat in the mountains of Afghanistan to advising at the highest levels of the Pentagon and the White House. And it goes on and on and on about that. So that's a great write up right there from Jack Carr, former Navy SEAL sniper and number one New York Times bestselling author. So congrats on that.
Yeah, thanks. You know, the Green Berets and SEALs tease each other all the time, but, you know, his service and then his ability to kind of tell those stories for Americans are just, he's crushing it. So I was thrilled to have his endorsement.
You are on the short list, it's rumored to be, for Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense if President Trump wins. And I'm not going to ask you if you would take the job. I'm sure you would be more than happy to serve if you were asked. But given the state of the world right now, given the latest on the story of Iran and the battle plans of Israel being leaked on Telegram, given the state of everything that's happening in the world right now, I think it's very safe to say we're at a very precipice. We're at the precipice here.
Yeah, we are. And literally, I don't know that the world, much less the United States, can survive another 4 years of this. We have to get back to a position of strength. We have to get back to a position of deterrence. We have to get our military more worried about getting our submarines and ships out of the yards and that they work than they are about pronouns. So we have a heck of a lot to do to get the politicization out of the military, get it focused on back to having the best of the best that are the most lethal in the world, that our enemies fear, and with someone in the White House as commander in chief that they respect. And that is not Kamala Harris. I'm sorry. Not even close. And then separately, what President Trump knows and what I've talked to him about is rebuilding him the best military in the world that he never has to use. Right. He knows that with Iran in particular, they are flush with cash right now. And as long as they are, they're going to provide it to Hezbollah, to Hamas, to the Houthis. Well, where's that cash coming from? It's coming from China that's buying their oil because the Biden administration's not enforcing the sanctions. When President Trump told China, stop buying Iran's oil and gas or you can't buy ours, and they did. That's how you ultimately solve this war, not by forcing Israel to go to a ceasefire, which basically just hits the reset button on the countdown clock to the next time that they're attacked. It is bad policy after bad policy choice from Biden, and Harris would just continue the same. That has the world on fire. Just 4 years ago, we were signing peace deals, the Abraham Accords, on the White House lawn. Now you've got ballistic missiles flying between Israel and Iran.
What do you make of these leaked battle plans by Iran on the site Telegram? Do you have any insight into that?
Well, we haven't gotten all of the briefings yet. I'll tell you, they were more along the lines of, look, the United States intelligence community collects on everybody. And what it appears to be, I haven't been briefed on it. The reporting is what we were collecting on Israel's preparations, on their movements and what they were, you know, what they were doing and how they were doing it. I think it speaks to a bigger issue of Israel and Bibi Netanyahu have stopped talking to us, that we have to use the intelligence community to inform, you know, ourselves of what they're up to, because the Israelis know, have they listened to Biden and Harris, Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, would still be alive and launching rockets. The leader of Hamas would still be alive, right? All of these terrorists would still be attacking them. Bibi stopped listening to Biden and Harris. But I tell you what, this administration is infiltrated with Iranian apologists. Their lead negotiator, Rob Mali, has been stripped of his clearance by the FBI. That was the guy who was negotiating the Iran deal. And his lieutenants are sprinkled all over this administration. And their approach is to apologize to Iran, to concede to Iran, and put pressure on Israel. And we've seen the folly of it.
It's a good thing they did not listen to the Biden administration, who were trying to tie their hands here every step of the way and tell them how to fight their war. The book is Hard Truths, Think and Lead Like a Green Beret. Congressman Mike Waltz is my guest, U.S. Army Special Forces retired. How do we deal with China? I mean, what are the hard truths here about dealing with China and the kind of leadership we have to do? Because you're right. None of us want to see World War III. We don't want building him the strongest, building Trump the strongest military that he never has to use. I think, Congressman Waltz, that's an excellent line. It's a great line. How do we keep China, for example, at bay?
Well, you know, each chapter talks about different attributes of a Green Beret and how we're different. Look, the military's the best, and it should be at breaking things. The Navy SEALs and the Rangers, two bullets in Osama bin Laden's forehead on the other side of the world and bring everybody back home. Direct action, direct raids. Green Berets use soft power, hard power. We have to learn local languages. We'll embed with a militia and tribe and train them to do our dirty work for us sometimes. And when it comes to China, we have to use all elements of national power. We have to get our supply chains out of there, our pharmaceuticals. We have to get our critical minerals out. President Trump knows darn well that they need us economically just as much as we need them. We need to work with India on their left flank. And we've got to work by, with, and through our locals, whether that is arming up Taiwan, whether that's working with the Japanese, working with the Filipinos, working with the Australians, that we can prevent this war if every time she thinks about invading Taiwan, he looks and sees this coalition arrayed against him, and he makes the decision that this is going to cost him way more than he gains. Right now, you've got Biden and his people over there in China talking about climate change, number one, two, and three issue, as China builds a coal factory per week, 52 just in the last year. And, you know, these are the kids that dealt with the schoolyard bully by thinking up, you know, how can I give them more lunch money and maybe my ham sandwich, too? And we know what the bully does with that. President Trump knows you have to show restraint, which is one of the chapters of my book. But you also have to be bold in the targeted application of power, which he did when he took out Soleimani, Iran's field general, and it restored peace. And so each chapter is a kind of a story of my time in combat, how we applied adaptability, resilience, persistence, how we made it through training despite everything that's thrown on us, and then how now I've applied it to business and politics and life.
Well, I think it's important because character is something in America that I don't know if we teach it anymore to our kids. I mean, I've got three kids. My son is going to be 10 in a couple weeks. And it's important that he learns the hard truths about life and character. And one of the things I really like about your book is, you know, that you talk about how somebody can deal with crisis and the character development that goes through it. And you say, you know, a person of great character is not someone who should walk away from a crisis. Instead, they should show restraint if needed to attain the goal. Determination, persistence, and bold leadership are all key elements of the book. I think that translates into every aspect of life.
Well, one of the things that I tell, you know, I mean, for both your kids and mine, I tell the high school groups all the time, here's a hard truth. Not everybody's going to get a trophy. You're going to fail.
Yeah.
You're going to fail repeatedly. I talk about my failures. I mean, I didn't make it through Special Forces selection the first time. I got hurt pretty badly, and I had to heal and rest up and go at it again in Ranger school. After I had lost 30 pounds, I was told to start all over again, or I could just walk away and go finally eat a cheeseburger. And you know what? I sucked it up and had the determination and grit to start all over and achieve your goals. And I think too often, you know, parents are often as guilty to it as broader society, whether it's the teachers unions or what have you, of just instant gratification for everybody. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody wins. I literally came across a group that where they were playing kickball and they weren't keeping score because they didn't want one side to win or lose. No, you know what? You're going to lose. And sometimes you're going to lose repeatedly. And what's the type of person, like some of the Green Berets that I talk about, despite losing a foot, an arm, and an eye, one of them, Captain Ken Dwyer, turned out all the disability, millions over a lifetime, that he had earned, rightly, so he could get back to his team and his teammates and get back to the fight. You know, what are the attributes that makes a person, you know, dig deep like that? I mean, the deepest, after he had survived those kind of wounds in combat, the recovery and back into it.
I think it's incredibly important because we don't place enough emphasis on failure and what it can teach you. And so as a consequence of that, we have people who are afraid to take risks because they might fail.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. And I talk about even the risk aversion that we've seen creep into the corporate world because of over litigation or being accused of racism or being canceled, or even the risk aversion in the military world. You know, name me a general that got fired for the Afghanistan withdrawal, that total debacle, the worst since Saigon, not one. There's not enough accountability. We had a Secretary of Defense, Biden's Secretary of Defense, that went MIA for a week because he went under surgery, didn't bother to tell the commander-in-chief, who's got his finger on the nuclear button, no accountability. And so we have to have that at every level because there's consequences for not getting results. All too often in government, you know, the measure of success is how much money you throw at a problem rather than the results that you get on the other end. And so I talk about this kind of culture shift. And in the Green Berets, you know, it's called bottoms up leadership. You listen to people closest to the fight, or in business, closest to the sale or closest to the customer. And leadership is about casting a vision and then getting them what they need. And so those are, you know, just a couple of the attributes that we learn when we're out there very alone and afraid. And that how I apply it to business and politics. And just real quickly, in one of my tours, this is the difference in Green Berets. We're not surrounded by divisions of American troops. There were three of us embedded in an Arab task force. They were an ally of 90 of them partnered with 180 Afghans. So it's as close as I'll get to Lawrence of Arabia. If I never eat goat again, I'm okay, right? But incredibly autonomous. You have to have a real moral compass. You have to understand the vision and what's in America's interest. That's why we call ourselves warrior diplomats. But it's a very different type of thinking than any other type of special operator or any other kind of job in the military.
Well said. Well, listen, congratulations on the book. I look forward to calling you Mr. Secretary someday. But in the meantime, Congressman Mike Waltz, Hard Truths, Think and Lead Like a Green Beret. Get it on sale now. There's a lot of lessons on here for all of us. And, hey, thanks for all your hard work helping us win Pennsylvania. We really do appreciate it, Congressman.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the fight. And by the way, all the royalties, the proceeds don't go to me. They go to veterans charities. So pick one up. Get it for friends for Christmas or I really appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, anytime. Hard Truths, Think and Lead Like a Green Beret. Congressman Mike Waltz, thank you.
All right.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Seoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
And I want to mention we'll be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for our live show in December, December 20th. That's going to be our next time we're all together. So mark your calendar now for that, for December 20th, because it's going to be a blast. The live shows always are. And Cape May is absolutely gorgeous in Christmas time. You know, they go all out when it comes to Christmas in Cape May. They take it very, very seriously. And here's something else you should think about, which is letting them do the Thanksgiving cooking for you as well. They'll have a big Thanksgiving celebration at the Grand Hotel, and you can let them do the cooking and enjoy some time with your family. Just reach out to them today at GrandHotelCapeMay.com or call 800-257-8550. Okay. So, I got this for you right now. This is really important stuff. I'm just trying to get all this through here. We're loaded up. Brett Baer talked about how his interview with Kamala was more contentious than he thought it would have been. And that tells me a lot, too, because Brett Baer is known as being a gentleman. He's respected very, very much. I thought he did an excellent job with it. I thought he handled himself quite well. But it was contentious, more so than he thought, which is interesting because they wanted to do this interview. It wasn't like Kamala Harris was forced to be there. But anyway, this is what Brett Baer said regarding that. Cut 18.
Right after the interview, and I thought, wow, this was really a lot more contentious than I thought. It was there was a lot of filibustering. I didn't really want to keep on interrupting, but if I didn't, I thought there were maybe be four answers total in the interview. I think I came away with there were moments that clearly she prepared for, that I think she wanted to have the viral moment, and she got it, and I think her campaign was happy with that. I think there were things that Mark played and some other moments where I think a lot of people looking back at the transcript are going to say, wow, that's interesting. It's newsy. It's not what she usually answers. I had a lot of people rapping me doing the big rap. But listen, I'm very grateful that they came on. And dealing with the Harris people has been fine. It was a little tense because we had a time deadline and it started later. And originally, we had, you know, 25, 30 minutes, then it was 20 minutes. You know, they were watching the clock. Yes. And so we had to speed things up at the end.
They started late, too, and then they rushed and they wrapped it and they wanted it to end because he was actually asking her questions. And they didn't like that very much. But I think, look, she has to do more of that stuff. She has to. she has to stop with hanging out with just the softball interviews. There are people that have legitimate questions, and she's just avoiding that. But then there's the whole 60 Minutes debacle. And listen, 60 Minutes still not releasing the transcript of that interview with Kamala Harris. Journalist malpractice of the utmost degree, no question about it. J.D. Vance today brought up the fact that isn't it something that the media is not curious at all about Kamala Harris working at McDonald's? This is something right now. Trump goes there, and I thought it was a brilliant move in every aspect, as I've been mentioning, and I'll talk more about that soon. But think about it. They're just taking her word that she worked at McDonald's. And look, maybe she did. I don't know. I mean, when you say to yourself, why lie about it? But isn't it the kind of thing that the media would be curious about and would hunt it down and figure this out? McDonald's says we don't keep records of people that worked for us from a certain period of time. All right, but assuming she was on the books, I mean, I don't know, pay stubs, some pictures, something. I feel like an investigative reporter could figure this out. I would also think it's to her campaign's benefit to put a picture of her working in her McDonald's uniform in a commercial, or at least put it out there. Somebody who said they worked with her. I don't know, something. I mean, if I needed to prove that I was a waiter, I could get people to say it. If I had to prove I worked at Ratzy's Pizza in College Park when I was in college, I could get people who could say I worked at Ratzy's. It's not that complicated. This seems strange that nobody's come forward and like, yeah, I worked with her at McDonald's, or hey, here's a picture of her serving people at McDonald's, because it would be to her benefit. It really would. And so then you have to say to yourself, well, why is the media not trying to figure this out? So J.D. Vance was asked about that today, because the media is obviously going crazy over Trump working at McDonald's, but saying, well, it was a stunt because the McDonald's was closed to the general public. Yeah, that happens a lot with restaurants and venues. Yeah, I mean, you rent out a place because you're having a big group there and you close it to the general public. The people that are making the food are still working. Believe it or not, I know, it's crazy. That's crazy. If you rent out a, whatever it is, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese, you close it down to everybody, but you're the people that make the Chuck E. Cheese pizza, you can call it that, they're still working, whether it's open to the public or not. If you've ever rented out a venue in your lifetime, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But they're losing their minds over the fact that it was closed to the general public. That's just funny. It's funny to me. How many times we've been to banquets or restaurants that have said, we're closing early tomorrow. We have a private function going on. Or you try to make a reservation at a place and they go, oh, we're actually going to be closed next Friday night. We've got a big rehearsal dinner here and we don't have room for everybody. So we're closed. But every person who's serving in some capacity is working. So it's beyond silly. It really is beyond silly. But here's what J.D. Vance said about that. Cut 21.
She goes into Sheetz and does four takes of her buying Doritos. Donald Trump just goes into McDonald's and he is who he is and people love him.
What is your campaign's position, or even your position? Did she work at McDonald's as a student in college, or was she lying?
I don't know if there's a campaign position on it. What I find, and I have spoken to Donald Trump about this, what we find weird about this is that Kamala Harris has been able to produce no evidence that she worked at McDonald's, and she didn't even talk about it until 2019 during, I believe, her first run for the United States Senate. So I don't know what's ultimately true here, but it's interesting where the media will try to nitpick and micromanage every single thing that me or Donald Trump has said, and yet they just buy into this narrative from Kamala Harris that she invented 5-6 years ago. Why don't they just do some journalism? Maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, but I know I don't trust the media's lack of curiosity about this issue when they're so curious and nitpicking everything else that the Republican candidates do.
Including what Trump said regarding Arnold Palmer and his junk. And this is probably one of those amazing moments. He talked about Arnold Palmer's junk at a rally. Trump did at a rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday. And do you have the actual? Oh, yeah, here we go. This is Trump talking about Arnold Palmer, a great man. Great drink as well, by the way, especially if you get, an Arnold harder Arnold Palmer, by the way. But this is a different. What he's talking about here would not be the same as the hard Arnold Palmer that I'm talking about. I'm talking about it, put like booze in it. But anyway, this is Trump. Campaign in Latrobe, PA. Latrobe, home of Rolling Rock. Pretty okay college beer. Cut 16.
Arnold Palmer was all man, and I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women, but this guy, this is a guy that was all man. This man was strong and tough, and I refuse to say it, but when he took showers with the other pros, they came out of there, they said, oh my God. That's unbelievable. I had to say it. We have women that are highly sophisticated here, but they used to look at Arnold as a bad, but he was really something special. Arnold was something special. So I just want to tell you, you're very lucky, the people that live in Latrobe, and it's an honor for me to be here because of him. And he was actually a great man, and I don't think there would be golf to the extent that you have it today. It probably wouldn't be that way without the great Arnold Palmer. So enjoy it, everybody. Enjoy it.
Listen, as somebody...
And I had to tell you the shower part of it because it's true. What can I tell? We want to be honest. We want to be upfront. It's true.
As somebody who has a similar reaction when I come out of the shower, I get it. And I understand what Trump was saying. And yes... It's awkward for me when I come out of the shower and I just kind of stand there and air dry and people are like, whoa. You know what I mean? So I get it. And yes, if I was dead, I'd want that story to be told. In fact, Matt DeSantis, if you ever speak about me and when I'm dead, you better tell that story as well.
I'll make a note of it. Yeah, I'll make sure to weave that into every conversation I have moving forward.
Justin, if people were like, what's it like on the show, working on the show nowadays? You'd be like, you know, he's like Arnold Palmer. When he walks out of the shower, people are like, whoa. So, just saying. Kirk, in fact, let's put it on YouTube so everybody... No, we're not doing that. We're not going to... Okay, never mind. That was a bad... I had a shower picture I was going to share, but...
Wait, we have the streaker clip on. We can air on YouTube.
Oh, we do have the streaker clip?
Yeah, right, let's do that. Short. It's like 5 seconds.
Oh, well, let's do the streaker. The streaker endorsed Donald Trump, and the crowd went wild, and we always love a good streaker. I'm a big fan of streakers. We're going
she's
streaking! We're
she's
going streaking! What's that?
I was going to say, she's covered up just enough where I think we can air this on YouTube without Greg screaming at us.
Oh, it's a she. Oh, even better.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, if it was a dude, yeah, nobody wants to see that.
No, if it was a dude, I would say let's not even bother playing it. But let's take a listen to, or we could watch the streaker if you're lucky enough to stream with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no extra audio. It's literally just crowd noise.
I know. I'm just waiting for it to catch up on YouTube so I can get a look at her.
Oh.
Is she good looking?
Oh, brother.
She's very busty.
Really?
Yeah. Some are saying the female Arnold Palmer.
I understand. Oh, I see her now. Yes. Wow. She's black and gold with boots on, knee-high boots on, and a tight skirt, and yes... not that I endorse that sort of thing, but if Bridget is looking for a Halloween costume idea, I...
in case you can't read it, the sign says Trump secured the border. Kamala left it open.
Ah, I see. Well, anyway, there you go. But there was a meltdown over Trump and the Arnold Palmer stuff too. Should we just quickly play which meltdown clip do you like better? 15 or do you like Jake Tapper losing his mind over the Arnold Palmer stuff?
The Tapper one is far and away the best clip.
All right, so Jake Tapper can't stop pressing Speaker Mike Johnson about Arnold Palmer's junk and the story that President Trump told about him, which I would want told about me, and it would be 100% true and accurate, by the way, if it was ever told about me. Every man would want this story. 100% of men want this story told about them when they're dead. If it's true, 100% every time. In fact, the rule should be you only bring that up about me. No matter what other accomplishments I've had, that should be the only thing you ever bring up. And I speak on behalf of every well-endowed man when I say this. And you know that I'm right on this point. Okay. Only a man that is not well endowed would not want that being brought up. I'm just saying. I'm just making the point. Okay? Otherwise, if you're in that exclusive club, of which I am, you want everybody knowing it forever. That's how you become immortal. You're literally immortal at that point. But Jake Tapper wasn't having it. I don't think Jake's in that club, if you get my drift, if you catch my drift. You know what I mean? Cut 26.
So let me read you the lead of the Associated Press story about Trump's rally in Pennsylvania. Quote, Donald Trump's campaign suggested he would begin previewing his closing argument Saturday night with Election Day barely 2 weeks away. But the former president kicked off his rally with a detailed story about Arnold Palmer, at one point even praising the late legendary golfer's genitalia, unquote. Mr. Speaker, you're crossing all over the country. You're working hard to get Republicans over the line in this election. You're talking about substantive issues. Is this really the closing message you want voters to hear from Donald Trump? Stories
yes.
about Arnold Palmer's penis?
Yeah.
I'm sure
Whoa.
That you think that a policy debate would be better than a personality debate. But if President Biden had gone on stage and spoke about the size of a pro golfer's penis, I think you would be on this show right now saying you were shocked and appalled. And you would suggest it was evidence of his cognitive decline. I know you want to talk about policy, and I respect that. But the reason that Donald Trump is not up 10 points is because of comments like that one, where people do have concerns about his fitness, his acuity, and his stability. Why is he talking about Arnold Palmer's penis in front of Pennsylvania voters?
Jake, you seem to like that line a lot. Let me tell you that Donald Trump is doing rallies nonstop around the country.
Let me just say something. I don't want to be talking about
this. Right.
Donald Trump is out there saying it is.
But you continue to. Let's talk about.
Because you won't address it.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You won't address it. He is out there talking to
voters. No, I'll address it. Let me answer it. Okay, don't say it again. We don't have to say it. I get it. There's lines in a rally. When President Trump is at a rally, sometimes he'll speak for two straight hours. You're questioning his stamina, his mental acuity. Joe Biden couldn't do that for 5 minutes.
Jake is very, very offended. He's very triggered by this. I just have to wonder why. Okay, listen, Scott Pressler is going to join us next. It is the deadline to register to vote in Pennsylvania. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so it's a big day in Pennsylvania. The deadline is here, and there's a guy working incredibly hard. I don't think anyone's working harder than him to make sure Pennsylvania goes red. I'm talking about the one, the only, Scott Pressler. Scott, you're a hero to everybody. Thank you for all you're doing for us. How are you?
Thank you. Well, you know, this has been, today is the culmination of a lot of years of hard work, but we have reached the deadline today. October 21st is the last day to register to vote in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's finally here.
It's finally here. You moved here. You gave up every free second of your time. You didn't sleep. You didn't eat. And you've done incredible work. You've flipped counties from blue to red. You've helped register thousands and thousands of people. Do you know the actual number of people that you've got registered, Scott Pressler?
Oh, gosh. I lost count a long time ago. But I can tell you with confidence that our team, earlyvoteaction.com, we've probably registered 50,000 voters to the rolls here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Wow. And what amazes me is that you've opened our eyes to things like the amount of hunters that weren't registered to vote, the amount of gun owners that weren't registered to vote, and other groups like that, too, which is just ridiculous, unacceptable. And you've gone to places. You tell us the methods that you use to get people to register at the work that you've done with Early Vote Action.
Thank you. Well, 2020 was decided by 80,000 votes. And so I was thinking, what groups can I reach out to make up that 80,000 number? How do we make sure that we win Pennsylvania? Well, there are 80,000 truckers. So we've been going to these service plazas off of the turnpike. We go to the truck stops, the rest stops, and we get the truckers to do a mail-in ballot, to do an early vote. they're on the road. They're driving rigs constantly serving us, the American people. So we're getting them to change their habit of voting. We have 90,000 Amish, and our Amish want school choice and religious freedom and the ability to grow what they want on their property and put into their bodies what they choose. And so we go to the farmers markets, and we're seeing an explosion of voter registration with the Amish. We have 800,000 veterans, and we go to the VFWs. We go to the American Legion. We make sure that all of our veterans that served our country are registered to vote. And last, we have 930,000 hunters. You hit the nail on the head. 30% of hunters in Pennsylvania are not registered. And if you're one of those hunters listening right now, please, your Second Amendment rights are on the line. Kamala has already said she will, by executive action, come after our Second Amendment rights and our values. And so we've been going to the gun stores, the gun ranges, and making sure that we're getting them registered, and if they're going to be hunting on Election Day, that they vote early.
And Scott, how can people right now, if they're listening, if they're going, I don't know if I'm registered to vote, I don't know what to do, and clearly the clock is ticking here, what can they do right now?
Please, this is so important. Go to vote.pa.gov. Vote.pa.gov. You have two different things I want you to do. The first one, even if you're a voter, even if you voted this year, Rich, I need people to check their status. I had a woman earlier today who she laughed when I said, check your voter registration status, because she thought, you know, I've been registered. She checked. She's been registered since 1996. She could not find herself in the Pennsylvania Department of State. She could not find her voter registration status. And please, I don't want you, all of these beautiful listeners, to go to your polling location on November 5th only to be told, oh, I'm so sorry, you're not registered to vote. You can't vote for Trump. You can't make your voice heard. So please check your voter status right now. And if you're inactive, if you're not registered to vote at your current address, or if you can't find yourself, then you re-register vote.pa.gov.
You can do it right online.
Yes, if you have a driver's license, yes. Even if you don't at this point, you know, the boards of elections, they are closed. The boards of elections, you know, the time is up to bring your voter registration form in person. So don't mail it. If you're going to do anything, you do it online and you get the confirmation application number and you get the timestamp, but you get it in before 11:59 p.m. this evening. You at vote.pa.gov have until 11:59 p.m. and then after that it's closed.
Okay. Thank you, Scott Bressler. That's very, very important. Then the next thing I got to ask you, because obviously tomorrow is October 22nd. So I know you're not leaving Pennsylvania anytime soon. So what's Scott Pressler's Tuesday, October 22nd going to be after everybody's been registered to vote?
Thank you. Well, no, I'm not leaving. I'm a homeowner now in Pennsylvania, and I already voted in Beaver County, plus one for Donald Trump. So tomorrow we're going to be releasing a press release at earlyvoteaction.com, and we have 70 staffers on the ground, 70 that have been producing these voter registration results. By the way, in the last week, Democrats added 12,000 voters. Republicans added 27,000 voters. Our 70 staff beginning tomorrow are going to transition into get out the vote mode, transition into getting people to demand an in-person mail-in ballot by request of their Board of Elections office. And then furthermore, we're going to be ballot chasing. So for the next 2 weeks, this is going to be about getting ballots into boxes going towards Tuesday, November 5th to elect Donald Trump.
Okay. And this is very, very important, because I want everybody to hear what Scott Pressler has to say. And it's what I've been saying. And it's what the RNC chairman, Michael Whatley, has been saying. It's what Lara Trump's been saying. Please trust the process. Right, Scott?
Well, I would not ask people to do something that I haven't done myself. I asked people to move to Pennsylvania. I did. I asked people to vote early. I did. Here's how it works. This is very important. And if this is the last thing I say, this is the critical. You can vote early, guys, in Pennsylvania. How does it work? Go to your Board of Elections tomorrow. You go vote tomorrow, mm-hmm. and you request an in-person, on-demand mail-in ballot. in-person, on-demand mail-in ballot. You fill out a mail-in ballot application, you turn it in, they call your name, Mr. Riccioli, you fill out your ballot, then you turn your ballot back in. You have done a mail-in ballot, quote-unquote, in person at your Board of Elections, and you can vote tomorrow up until the 29th.
What have you learned most about Pennsylvania in your time here now and the hard work that you've done registering people to vote? I mean, this state is so unique in the sense of, you know, obviously you've got Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and you've got all the rural parts of PA. What are some of your takeaways of this state?
It's so diverse. I mean, gosh, we're a state that has Amish. We're a state that we have two major cities, one close to Manhattan, New York, and one very close to Ohio. We're a state that you have four different seasons all in one day. We're a state that, you know, it takes 6 hours to drive across. And we're a state that has historical significance, you know, from the crossing of the Delaware River to the Liberty Bell to the, you know, the foundation of our Constitution. I think Pennsylvania is just a special state that I now call my home.
Well, I think that's great. And I think what ties it all in for us is that we know that there's one candidate in this race who will actually help Pennsylvania advance and another one who would set Pennsylvania back, whether it's fracking or agriculture or just the economy. No question about it. Scott, thank you for everything. I mean, really sincerely, thank you. And please do what Scott's asking you to do and check your voter registration status. Even if you think you're registered, do what he's telling you to do right now and go to earlyvoteaction.com, support his work, and follow him on X at Scott Pressler. Scott, thank you, my friend. I hope to talk to you very soon.
Thank you. Vote.pa.gov. Thank you.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Good stuff. So, I gotta get into a lot of things in the next hour with you, but I want to get back on the McDonald's thing because I have a lot of observations from it from a political analysis perspective, but also the media meltdown perspective as well. And today's show has flown by, and I don't actually have any guests in the next hour, so I can actually just talk to you, which is something that has been rare on the show today, which is good. But I would expect lots of guests coming up in the next few days and weeks. There's an op-ed, though. I'd be remiss if I did not mention this in Politico. The very real scenario where Trump loses and takes power anyway. So this is the next thing that the left is throwing out there, that Trump could overturn the 2024 election even if he loses the 2025. I kid you not. I'm not even kidding. And they interviewed dozens of people deeply familiar with who figured out how Trump could still win even if he doesn't win and overthrow the election. Now, it makes no sense. And as usual, they go to idiots like Jamie Raskin for their analysis and their thoughts on this. And this is the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. And the answer, the analysis, is that basically what he will do is he will come up with fake electors again, and he will rely on congressional Republicans to endorse alternate electors or reject Democrat electors, and then somehow he will seize power even if Kamala Harris gets the 270 electoral votes. Now, I'm telling you why they're writing this story now. They're writing the story now because this is all part of the whole mantra of Trump is a danger to democracy, Trump's going to destroy this country, and even if he loses, he's still going to find a way to win. He's still going to find a way to get into the White House and run this country because it plays into the narrative. And it's all about the narrative of him being the dictator, right? This is why they hate the McDonald's thing so much. But just keep that in mind. It's an actual op-ed that's in Politico today. The very real scenario where Trump loses but still takes power. And then, of course, there's the other bad op-ed from the weekend, which I shared a screenshot of on Twitter. I'm not going to read the article because I don't want to go through the paywall, but Trump is speaking like Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini, all three, which is interesting because one spoke German, one spoke Russian, and one spoke Italian, but apparently Trump is a master linguist. I mean, who knew? And he only speaks dictator languages. Again, who knew? Who knew these things? And I also wanted to mention this as well. And I'm going to talk about this in the next hour. But Josh Shapiro, they're basically now calling on an investigation into Elon Musk because Elon Musk is doing a giveaway. You know, if you sign his petition for freedom of speech, you have a chance to win like $1 million. And they're freaking out over this. Oh, yeah, they're freaking out over this. And they want to potentially now go after him in an actual investigation. And just so you know, regarding Georgia, because Fani Willis has not been in the news all that while, but remember how I told you that Nathan Wade never would have been on that case if he wasn't her gumata? That's the bottom line. Nathan Wade was a guy who was dealing with municipal traffic tickets until he became the lead prosecutor in the case against the former president of the United States. Now, worked out well for all of us that she hired the guy that she was, you know, knocking boots with. But the point is, he was so bad and so ill-equipped and unprepared to do the job, he admitted he needed RICO training to lead the Georgia case against Trump. It was a RICO case. It should not be a RICO case, but it is a RICO case. He needed training in RICO, which is the racketeering, that's the aspect of it that they charge him with, to lead the case against Trump. Thus proving that the only reason he got there was because obviously Fani Willis thinks he's well endowed. I don't know if he's any Arnold Palmer or not, but I'm just saying. That's the only reason that guy got on the case, and that's the truth about the sham that is Georgia and why that case still needs to be absolutely once and for all disqualified and thrown out. All right. But why are they going after Elon Musk again? What are they doing here? What does Trump's McDonald's, the outrage by the media, tell us? And is Tim Walz really trying to reach male voters by going on The View? Yes, all of that is straight ahead for you. But when it comes to your home, I want to tell you, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons Roofing and Siding is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, but will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So, whether it's a durable, lifetime-warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because Stephanie and Matt know the times are tough for many people, they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10%. 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Call Emmons today. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677, or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.